Okay, so we'll begin, continue with memory. We'll not dwell in great detail on this and the next chapter because they are about subordinate action of consciousness, but still the key things we'll take it up. But knowledge and ignorance is a very directly, it is the thing of which we hear. In Buddhism, of course, memory has a great importance, and that's why Shobindra takes it up very separately. So here we have a definition on page 524 of ignorance from the memory point of view. Ignorance is the consciousness of being in the successions of time, divided in its knowledge by dwelling in the moment, divided in its conception of self-being by dwelling in the division of space and the relations of circumstance, self-present in the multiple working of the unity. Now this last word changes everything. Ignorance is what? It's like we are in a prison. And in the prison we are seeing only, Plato has given this in a very detailed way in his, what is ignorance? He describes that people are in a cave and they are imagine that they cannot come out, and they are, he gave a very extensive analogy that they are stuck, they can't move their eyes and they are seeing some shadows on the wall. There is no light but little bit of some grey shadows, and they have their interpretations. They start believing this is what it is. They worship the shadows, or they whatever way they relate with the shadows. Then one day one of them manages to escape. And he goes into the light. He goes out. Somehow finds a way. Now he sees a totally different world altogether. And he thinks, I must wake these people also up. Tell them that, look here. There is a world out there. So he comes back to tell them that there is a world out there, which is very different. And of course the story is very tragic. He meets a tragic end. They wound him. They injure him. They say, you are crazy man, show me that world. And he tells them, come with me. He'll say, no, how do we know? Coming with you, what is going to become of us? And finally, they injure him very badly. He probably dies or runs away. So basically, there are different states, and memory is the thing which strings it together in a way we can look at it. It's not a creator of anything, but it strings and it influences. So it is, string means time is constantly flowing. But something has happened sometime, even as a state of consciousness. That's why we'll see that who is the deepest friend. So people have their own definitions. But my little definition is, even after 20 years, you have not spoken, you have not met. But if you were to speak to the person or meet, you will feel the same kind of closeness. It's not based on anything external, sharing, giving, anything like that. So there are different layers on which memory operates. It strings. Now this is another memory string which is hidden inside. But it's there. It's not operative because we are on the surface. Why we are on the surface? That's where ignorance comes in. Ignorance is precisely like that Plato's cave, in which we are shown only a little bit, very partial, surface reality. And based on that, we draw our own conclusions or whatever, and that remains with us as memory. Okay. This, I am reminded of a very nice scene in how memory can operate at different levels. There is a movie called Devdas. The movie was horrible. Okay, let's not talk of that. But there is a very interesting scene where Devdas, which is Shah Rukh Khan's wife, Aishwarya Rai, she goes to Madhuri Dixit's place, who is a courtesan, but this man goes there time to time, but she really loves him. So she believes that he must be here. And she goes and says, where have you hid him? I want to meet him. So she says, you really want to meet him? She says, yes. He says, find him. He is everywhere. He is in the curtain. He is in the roof. He is in the floor. He is in the sky. She is completely flabbergasted. It's a very beautiful expression that, something which is imprinted everywhere. Every bit is that memory is imprinted. Where are you going to find him? You find him. But physically he is not here. So this is how the whole thing goes, that there is a different memory. So living within the ignorance from moment to moment, from field to field, from relation to relation, the conscious soul stumbles on in the error of a fragmentary knowledge. And sometimes it finds it very difficult to put these different things of knowledge together. Oh, this person was very nice. Oh, this person is very bad. This is the problem of the mind, which lives in a divided state. But it's not the problem of the supermind, it's our problem. Because the divine sees the totality. What was, what is, and what is going to be there. So he sees the totality and acts on that basis. This is the big difference why we do not understand the divine action. Why he draws some people close. Why some people are far, who are very nice people. It's not about that. So this is the difference. So memory in the dividing consciousness, which is our consciousness on an average consciousness, is a crutch upon which mind supports itself as it stumbles on, driven helplessly without possibility of stay or pause in the rushing speed of time. Time is carrying. And how memory is operating? What we are going to do now, let's say after 1 hour or 2 hours, so we decide based on memory. We have to eat. That place is nice. Okay, let's go there. Future, you are deciding. So in the time bank, there is a memory. And we are deciding on the basis of that memory as to where we are going to, how we are going to shape the future. There are many people like this, say, oh, we have to meet that person. Oh my God, horrible. He is going to give me a headache. It's a wonderful opportunity to try to be with someone who normally gives you a headache and come out free. Or maybe give him a headache. That will be, of course, too much. Mind can only have the direct consciousness of self in the moment of its present being, and the rest it does it with memory. So this is the limitation of the mind. And therefore, the logic of it is, if we live in the mind, there is nothing more that we can have except there is the present moment and there is a stream of memory flowing through time. That's all we can do if we are living in the mind. Because mind's consciousness is a dividing consciousness. It shows us what is in the present, that too largely by the senses. It doesn't know what is going on in the depth. That's why many people misinterpret so many things. Sometimes when someone is angry with you, it's because the person loves you. But you understand it later when you draw back inside. So this is the problem of the mind. But there is a greater consciousness which he speaks of. This consciousness, a greater consciousness of the immobile, timeless self. So there are two consciousnesses we still have to explore. The time self, which regards all the movement of time. It's the super GPS, which has recorded, like the hidden camera. It has recorded everything. So there is in us a hidden camera always operative. And it records not only the physical act. It records the intention inside. And it is said that, you know, we have this story of Chitragupta, most interesting. So very often people say about hidden camera, I said, we are the originator, creator of hidden camera. Chitragupta. All the Gupta, Chitra, he knows. So what does he do in his record? He doesn't see the outer act. We are the fools who are glued to the outer act. He is seeing the intent inside. And that's why the story goes that one lady who was apparently by their standards, moral standards, a loose woman, and another sadhu, they died together and they go to the Chitragupta. Chitragupta ji says to that lady who was regarded by everybody as loose that she has to go to heaven. He is wondering, some mistake in the computer. So he asks him, he says, no, no, this is a absolutely updated computer. He says, okay, fine. If she is going to heaven, I'll go to Vaikuntha. So asks him. He says, I'm sorry, you have only 3 minutes in Vaikuntha, rest is all in hell. What do you want first? He says, something must be wrong. He says, no. He says, how this has happened? This lady was a very loose woman. I know it. He said, yes, all the time you were thinking about this loose woman and secretly cherishing. And therefore your consciousness was filled with her. He says, I have never looked at myself this way. I thought I am a nice person, I am a sannyasi. He says, you may be sannyasi. But you were, your motives were dark. That's why it is said, don't think the dark things of others because you begin to share their burden. Okay, what about this woman? He says, she was helpless. She had to do what she had to do. Because no money, no support system. So every time she prayed, oh Krishna, come. Whichever man is coming near me, let it be you who come. So her inner memory is full of Krishna. So there are layers of seeing. So ordinarily, but we don't know. So now he is saying that there is a self in time which sees the present, past and future in one single go. Not only the past and present that Chitragupta can see. But the divine self which sees even the future, all that has been at some level already predetermined and decided. Behind the mind and using it as its own surface activity, there is a stable consciousness in which there is no binding conceptual division between itself in the present and itself in the past and future. And yet it knows itself in time. In the present, past and future, but at once with an undivided view which embraces all the mobile experiences of the time self and holds them on the foundation of the immobile timeless self. This consciousness we can become aware of when we draw back from the mind and its structures on which these fall silent, mind and its activities. But we see first its immobile status, and if we regard only the immobility of the self, we may say of it that it is not only timeless but actionless, without movement of idea, thought, imagination, memory, will, self-sufficient, self-absorbed, and therefore void of all action of the universe. Why is saying this again? Because of the strong impress of the Buddhist thought. So there is a timeless self. Buddha, of course, didn't speak about the self, anatmavad. But there is a timeless self which is cut off from all this field. But there is the other which regards all these. It is just a question of you open the eyes and you are seeing everything which is happening and yet will happen like through a supervision. And the same, who you are equally independent of all this reality. It's like we can take one example which Shrivinda himself gives of the author. So author is writing, and so he is writing the Mahabharata, and the scene is of Dusashan Chirharan, Vastraharan of Draupadi. And he says, sir, what are you writing? Horror. He'll say, you wait and watch. He has the future all in his mind. So then that is the whole Mahabharata as it unfolds. But if we think he is only this writing in terms of the book, then we are mistaken. Vyas Rishi will have a private quiet moment. That's why after the Mahabharata, as the story goes, Narad, he's still restless, and Narad Muni tells him, you have written all about Leela, outward exploits of Krishna in terms of the Mahabharata. But have you written about Krishna? He says, no. That you must write. That's how the Bhagavad Puran comes into existence. Because there are these, one is the regard of, he was a Trikaldrishti Rishi. So you can regard things in time. But there is a timeless self beyond these. And there, all this has no implication. There if you reach, all are her children. Oh mother, but this person did this. She smiles. But equally, there is a regard of time. So these are the two regards the same oneself has, and Shobhindu is saying, but for the moment, we are taking up the regard of time by this self. So this is what he is. The real self is the eternal, who is obviously capable of both the mobility in time and the immobility basing time simultaneously. What is he speaking? The Gita. Sri Krishna speaks of the Shara Purusha, the one self which in mutable time is experiencing. But Sri Krishna also says Akshara Brahma Paramam, the immutable self above time. But he also says a Purushottama who holds both these together. So he's saying the same thing. See, it is Sri Krishna everywhere you can see. Sri Krishna left many things unsaid, half said, because Kurukshetra. Now he is elaborating all of that. So how he is elaborating? The real self is the eternal, who is obviously capable of both the mobility in time, the shar, and the immobility basing time simultaneously, that is akshara. Simultaneously, otherwise they could not both exist. Why they could not both? There is something higher, the third, the Uttama Purusha. There is yet a third status. This is the beauty, one of the contributions of the Gita, which we don't find in the Upanishads. Very often people say that everything that is there, no. There is this Uttama Purusha, which is uniquely, and how the Akshara and Shara are two aspects of his own being. This is the Supreme Soul, Self and Being of the Gita, oh wonderful, who upholds both the immobile and the mobile being as the Self and Lord of all existence. So this is how we have a movement in time, succession of time. In ignorance, we don't even understand that. So ignorance is only a superficial account. Then there is the Shara Purusha, which experiences the essence of things. That's how mother says, two psychic memories are not like this, that I was born in this family, I did this, I did my graduation, and I was very studious. No. The true psychic memories are those which in the mutable time, they are essence, because it's the Purusha, it drives itself from the divine essence. It remembers, maybe standing before sunset and suddenly feeling deep inside. One of my own very interesting, very vivid memories. 31st December in Chabua on temporary duty Air Force unit, and there was a party, and as always I found a way out, didn't go. So morning 6 o'clock I remember getting up, and by 6 o'clock it was bright sun, northeast. So I stepped out. By then I was ready. Everybody is just sleeping, late night party. And in that quietude and silence, I saw the sun through the trees. And that was an experience which I cannot put words to it. It's not a temple where I am. It's not an ashram. But it's literally an experience, if I have to use the words now, of the self in one of the mode. It's very strange because it's got deep inside. If I was a painter, I could paint the whole picture. But I can't capture the state inside. So there is, now this memory goes in my real memory bank. So there are memories like that which get triggered because they are memories of the deepest self. So the Gita, he speaks, and that's how the divine looks at us. What did mother say when Dara goes there? Because he is Sheikh Ibrahim, no? And mother says, Dara, you have come? Mother, no mother, I am not Dara. Aha, you are Dara. And who is Dara? What is that to the credit of Dara? He is the eldest brother of the Aurangzeb, four brothers, who was killed. He was the actual heir to the throne. But most importantly, he had translated 60 Upanishads into Arabic. Similarly, they could know of people's past, present, future. Even what is going to happen to them. So that vision is very different from the way we look at it. Countless stories are coming to my mind, but we'll just otherwise flow into that. So let's come here back. And so he says, this is the last bit very interestingly, time is the great bank of conscious existence turned into values of experience and action. The surface mental being draws upon the past and the future also. Sri Aurobindo has this wonderful, marvelous way of suddenly bringing, like, you know, what shall I say, googly. What is this bank which is drawing from the future? Just see, in the bracket he writes quietly, very quietly. I'll read it again. Time is the great bank of conscious existence turned into values of experience and action. The surface mental being draws upon the past and the future also. In bracket, and the future also. How to understand it? We are going on a road based on, you know, the past. Let's say you are in a marketplace. You have to do things. How do you draw from the future? Something which is going to happen, already decided. Suddenly your steps randomly turn into a shop. You had not intended. You go there, pick up a book. And it strikes to you, this is what you are looking for. Who drew you there? There is a memory which is there in the future. By memory, a determination. And you open the book and read a sentence and you say, this is what I am seeking, understanding nothing about what it means. So memory is not just something of the, I mean, mind. Mind is drawing from the past, that, but there is a future which is there beyond the mind, which is attracting us, drawing us, carrying us. And that's why there is hope. That's why every Ratnakar has the possibility of becoming a Valmiki. And every Angulimal can become Anand. And coins it continually into the present. So what do? We coin these into the present. It's a coin. That's why we should make the most of every moment, mintage. Because that's what we are going to carry. People say, no, after death, what do you carry? Karma. Karma is a mechanism. What you are carrying is these psychic memories. So, into the present, he accounts for and stores up and gains. He has gathered in what we call the past, not knowing how ever present is the past in us. He uses as much of it as he needs as coin of knowledge and realized being, and pays it out on as coin of mental, vital and physical action in the commerce of the present, which creates to his view the new wealth of the future. This is the, we are writing our own destiny and fate. It can be very sobering effect and very, it opens doors regardless of whatever past is. Now I can write something new. That's why mother uses the word, win your little victories. You see somebody and get very irritated. Okay, this time, this is a moment, I must conquer this. Now you have written a new, your bank of time, a new thing has gone. And that is how we grow in the, towards the true self, through these coins. Ignorance is a utilization of the being's self-knowledge in such a way as to make it valuable for time experience and valid for time activity. What we do not know is what we have not yet taken up, coined and used in our mental experience, or have ceased to coin or use. It's like someone who has already kept everything for us. We have to discover it. So when we came here first time, this is how, very interesting statement, like you are looking for a house. Now I use this same copy-paste. People look for a house. So Maheshwariji said, you don't worry. House is already there. You have to discover it. So we thought, that's what we are doing, asking. But it was a very powerful statement, which was so true. You don't worry. It is there already. When mother really calls, everything is there. What we have to do? We have to discover it. It makes it so fascinating. But if you want to plan, I will make a house, I'll make this, and then I'll do this, then I'll have lot of money, then I will come. Then what happens is, somebody wrote to Sri Aurobindo, I am a 65-year-old retired professor, I have settled all my children, I am free from all my obligations, my wife has also told me, okay, good riddance, you can go. Now I want to come and lead a retired life in the ashram. So I am applying to the ashram. Sri Aurobindo didn't write him back like that. He said, this is a time to apply for the graveyard. Why is he applying? Time to apply for the... It's not a retired man's paradise. It's for a greater labor. So this is where we see the time is the bank. Because this is what we understand. We go, and this is how we draw from that coin, poor coin, and we want to chalau it. One might almost say that our surface being is only the deeper eternal self in us, throwing itself out as the adventurer in time, a gamble and speculator in infinite possibilities. That's our deeper self which has come. Let's play a game. What a game. That's how Sri Aurobindo describes in Savitri. It's an adventure. So at one level, we don't know what's going to happen. If we know everything, there will be no fun. But the deepest level, we know that always the divine is holding us through it all. And in this double awareness is the beauty of life. A gambler and speculator in infinite possibilities. This is how in Shiv Puran it is described. Mata Parvati and Lord Shiva, they sit together. We'll play a game. Okay, what game we'll play? Say, we'll play Chaucer. Chaucer, we all know. It's like, okay, Ludo. It's not Ludo exactly, but somewhat like a Ludo. Ludo. They cast a dice and chopper is the common Hindi term and we'll play. So, Shiva says, but there's a problem. We both know the future. So, how will we play? What will be the fun of the game when you know what is going to come? She says, okay, I am going to blind myself. I will act as if I know only the present. You know the future, you act. So you make the moves based on the future. I'll make the moves based on not knowing the future. See, in knowledge and ignorance we have spoken and met. That's what makes the game of Purusha and Prakriti at its highest. That I'll not know the future, but you know the future. It works both ways. Because the divine knows the future. He makes sure that at every critical moment, he will take us where we should be. At the same time, Prakriti gets a joy that I don't know. You see, when we describe, no, that how we came to Sri Aurobindo yesterday or day before, we were talking about it. So how it is like you feel the joy. How? Because we didn't know. And suddenly, Mother and Sri Aurobindo come from every side. You are listening, hearing their name, Aurobil, some program you switch on. It's coming. There's a joy. Now imagine you knew, you know what, after 2 years on this particular day, we will switch on the radio and we'll hear this program. What is the joy of it? So there is a reason why it is veiled. But both are simultaneously operating. It's not like we are left to our own resources. So that's what he is describing to us in a same thing with causality. Causality loses its meaning in the original truth. Causality is only here in terms of past, present and future. So surface being is only for this purpose. Limiting itself to the succession of moments so that it may have all the surprise and delight of the adventure. Just imagine. Variety of delight. Original game divine is playing with us. Hide and seek. That's the beauty of this game. And that's therefore there is a certain delight in not knowing, and it has come for that. Keeping back its self-knowledge and complete self-being so that it may win again what it seems to have lost. Not forever, that he'll talk later, but for the moment also, even in our present state of ignorance. Reconquering all itself through the checkered joy and pain of an aeonic passion and seeking and endeavor. That makes it so beautiful. That's how he describes in Savitri so beautifully. One who has made this world is ever its lord. Our errors are his steps upon the way. He works through the fierce vicissitudes of our lives. He works through the hard breath of battle and toil. He works through our sins, our sorrows and our tears. Whatever the appearance we must bear, whatever our strong ills and present fate, when nothing we can see but drift and bail, a mighty guidance leads us still through all. Where is it leading? He says a date is fixed in the calendar of the unknown. And then he uses a wonderful, our soul shall justify its checkered walk. Even the checkered walk had a meaning. Original chess game. Our soul shall justify its checkered walk. All shall come near that now is not or far. And why he does that? Just to share a secret. Imagine that if he knew, this is how things should be. There are a lot of wideness and experience of life which helps in bringing out or extracting all that delight that is inside. That will be missing. Therefore the challenges, and often the greater the challenges, the greater the grace, and the greater the ultimate realization. So it works like that. And with this we enter into the next chapter, 9, Memory, Ego and Self-Experience. The direct self-consciousness of the mental being, that by which it becomes aware of its own nameless and formless existence. Why is speaking the mental being? Because mind has this possibility. It is a seeking, always a seeking ignorance. Life is not a seeking ignorance. Life is not seeking for knowledge. It is seeking for its food. But mind is a seeking ignorance because it has come from the supermind. So it's always seeking. Of course, in an arrogant person, it is stuck. But it's a seeking ignorance. So when it reaches this own nameless and formless existence, behind the flow of a differentiated self-experience of its eternal soul substance, behind the mental formations of that substance. Why is using this language? Because this is the one self, the Chaitya Purusha. And we have the three Purushas, the mental, vital and physical Purusha, which are like delegates. So that's how it's described in Savitri, in the finding of the soul. So it puts forth, and these are like delegate managers who are managing the affairs. But it always knows behind that there is a true self which is behind. Of itself, behind the ego, goes behind mentality to the timelessness of an eternal present. It is that in it which is ever the same and unaffected by the mental distinction of past, present and future. Anywhere, any time this is possible. What a beautiful thing. Because the self is everywhere. What is required? One is this surface consciousness. We have to learn to step back. And then when we step back, all the mind generates all memories and all, to step back from that. From the whirl of these things. The moment you do that, there is nothing else but the divine. Any place, anywhere. Often places which we don't like are the best places because you will not get involved much. If you like, then you will get involved. So it is a paradoxical, this is my experience. If you don't like some parties or something, so you can really be in that because you are not anyways drawn to these things. So this is the process. The mind must turn within. It is that in it which is ever the same and unaffected by the mental distinctions of past, present and future. It is also unaffected by the distinctions of space or of circumstance. Wherever we may be, that the beauty of this self is, it is actually, even in terms of real experience, it's not located. You can't say, in the hotel I was experiencing the self. It's not there. In that experience it's not there. That is there. That's all. You can get back into it and say, huh? Ki bolche? What did you say? But in that moment, it's a timeless, spaceless, causeless self. For if it is also unaffected by the distinction of space or of circumstance. That's why people could say, even in the prison, Shobindu speaks of that. And you know, even when that stories we read yesterday, it is unaffected by any of these things. For if the mental being ordinarily says of itself, I am in the body, I am here, I was there, I shall be elsewhere. Yet, when it learns to fix itself in this direct self-consciousness, it very soon perceives that this is the language of its changing self-experience, which only expresses the relations of its surface consciousness to the environment and its externalities. Distinguishing these, detaching itself from these, it perceives that the self of which it is directly conscious does not in any way change by these outward changes. He is giving us a process. But is always the same, unaffected by the mutations of the body or of the mentality or of the field in which these move and act. It is in its essence featureless, relationless, without any other character than that of pure conscious existence, self-sufficient and eternally satisfied with pure being, self-blissful. Thus we become aware of the stable self, the eternal am, or rather the immutable is, or someone people will call that, without any category of personality or time. This possible, anywhere it's possible. So it's just a question of turning inward and you're out. And that time nothing will afflict. And that's how people who go into deep samadhi, even cutting, even as I said, Sri Ramakrishna, cobra bite, because you are no more connected with the why. See, when we are connected with causality and the flow of memory, what happens? It's a very profound implications. So there is a bite. Now what happens? Memory. Is it a snake? I know of a real story, incidentally, of a man who in the morning got up, and then he, as he got up from the bed, his wife discovered there was a snake which was dead. He had slept over it, and suddenly he realized that I was sleeping. He was drunk, of course. I was probably sleeping with the snake, and the snake must have bit me, and he died that moment. Oh, snake has bit me. Now the whole body is devastated. And there's so many stories. This memory can work both ways. Whereas memory of the self, the eternal self, we have the other extreme of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. So both these things are there. But this consciousness of self, so is it really disconnected with the flow of time? Or there is something else? But this consciousness of self, as it is timeless, so is capable also of freely regarding time as a thing reflected in it and as either the cause or the subjective field of a changing experience. It is then the eternal I am. See, when you read Sri Aurobindo's and the with Dilip Kumar Roy, all the things and that happen, long story. But at one place, Sri Aurobindo writes in records of yoga, some of the names of some of those, their past life. Only place where it documented in writing, where he writes past lives. So in front of Dilip Kumar Roy, just about 10 people he has written. Dilip Kumar Roy, he writes Hector. Now it suddenly unblocks many things. It gives a totally new perspective. Now this Sri Aurobindo has not written, but people say he was Paris. I can't say with any, but that. Now when you observe this, it changes the whole understanding altogether. So I am. So both things, that I always was, I am, and I will be. Or am, it is unconnected. So the immutable and the mutable. Those who live in this surface time self and have not the habit of drawing back inward towards the immutable or the capacity of dwelling in it are even incapable of thinking of themselves apart from this ever self-modifying mental experience. Those who are constantly living do not understand this. For them it's a constant unfolding going on. And see what is going to say. That is for them their self. That means a string of memories. What is self? Which is flowing with time, with memories. Now we understand where he is leading us very nicely, neatly. This is for them their self, and it is easy for them, if they look with detachment at its happenings, to agree with the conclusion of the Buddhist nihilist that this self is in fact nothing but a stream of idea and experience and mental action, the persistent flame which is yet never the same flame. So with detachment, you just, it's going its own way, you detach into a nihil. But the greater experience is, it's of the psychic being which has been throughout, will be further and will experience, and behind it all the eternal self. So I don't know what is the indication from the eternal self. Maybe we should just stop here, because the eternal self is cautioning us or the self in the flow of time. So we'll stop here. Come tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the last day.